wrote in her lifetime. So, this one is called Word. I live by words and wordless when I try my words in prayer. All language turns to silence. Prayer will take my words and then reveal their emptiness. The still voice learns to hold its peace, to listen with the heart to silence that is joy, is adoration. The self is shattered, all words torn apart in this strange pattern time of contemplation that in time, breaks words, breaks me, and then in silence leaves me healed and mended. I leave, return to language, for I see through words, even when all words are ended. So I welcome you this day as we come to worship, and I invite you to rise as you're able and join in our call to worship. God is making a new covenant with us.
A covenant written on our hearts instead of stone.
God is doing something new in us.
Our very lives are a temple of God's Spirit.
God is doing something new in our world.
We have the promise of eternal life.
God is making all things new.
Let us worship our God, who is with us now. Amen.
Our first song is My Life is in You. Take in that first deep breath. And as you let out this breath, let go of the stress in your body, your neck, your shoulders. Relax. So you can take a second, even deeper breath. And as you let this breath out, send with it all of your cares, the what-ifs, the to-dos, the whys. Let them all go. So you can take a third, even bigger breath. And as you let this breath out, become completely present here with the Lord. Let us join together in our unison prayer. Loving God, you created us in your image, and you have put a new heart within us, one with your covenant written upon it. You have called us to follow you and your ways, to be your people, to be one in you. May we know that we are not alone. May we remember to turn to others, to ask others to pray for us, to ask for help and guidance. For you have called us to love our neighbor, and that is not only for us to love others, but also to be loved by others. In our time of need, when our faith wavers, when we feel unloved, may we be reminded of your love and grace, in the love and compassion of our neighbors, that we are one body in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. I don't usually do this 2 weeks in a row. We need some scripture readers. So please sign up, especially because we have Easter, two services on Easter that you need to sign up for. So please help and come be part of the service. Our first reading is from Hebrews chapter 3, responding to Jesus' voice. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't have stubborn hearts as they did in the rebellion on the day when they tested me in the desert. That is where your ancestors challenged and tested me, though they had seen my work for 40 years. So I was angry with them. I said, their hearts always go off course, and they don't know my way. Because of my anger, I swore, they will never enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that none of you have an evil, unfaithful heart that abandons the living God. Instead, encourage each other every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you become insensitive to God because of sin's deception. We are partners with Christ, but only if we hold on to the confidence we had in the beginning until the end. When it says, today if you hear his voice, don't have stubborn hearts as they did in the rebellion. Who was it who rebelled when they heard his voice? Wasn't it all of those who were brought out of Egypt by Moses? And with whom was God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it with the ones who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And against whom did he swear that they would never enter his rest? We see that they couldn't enter because of their lack of faith.
I know a place where you go to.
loves me as we invite the children forward. Looks like Sarah's teaching now.
Richard, your prayers that got the cancer out and they found when they got that. I appreciate your prayers.
All right, so we got rid of the cancer on the the people will be a little different today. I invite you to respond. Joy of every longing heart, make our hearts beat with yours. Lord, we are still in the wilderness. We are learning the way and getting better at following. Yet this is still the wilderness. We are not yet fully renewed. And so we pray, joy of longing, every longing heart, make our hearts beat with yours. With people still kept in poverty or slavery, some in fear from abusers, terrorists, and oppressors, some facing addiction, and some targeted for unjust treatment because of who they are. And now we see how our own action or inaction leave things as they are or make things worse.
Joy of every longing heart, make our hearts beat with yours.
With those among us and those around us who are leaders in religious, political, economic, and social life, with our families, friends, and neighbors, and with all who sustain and protect our lives, such as military, civilian workers, and first responders.
Joy of every longing heart, make our hearts beat with yours.
With all who need your healing power, gracious Lord, and all who offer healing through their skill and presence,
joy of every longing heart, make our hearts beat with yours.
With all the creatures with whom we share this planet, those who sustain our lives, and those who threaten us, those whose lives we sustain, and those whose lives we threaten.
Joy of every longing heart, make our hearts beat with yours.
And with Jesus and all of his disciples from generation to generation, as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing our next song. 1 through 34. Jeremiah says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their husband, declares the Lord. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my instructions within them and engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins." So, this is our last time in rehab. We're coming to the end, and so we're coming to the promise. Now, poor Jeremiah. Jeremiah did not want to be a prophet for God. When God called him, Jeremiah said, "Please don't, I'm too young, I'm too inexperienced, don't make me." But apparently, when God picks you to be a prophet, you don't really have a choice in the matter. So Jeremiah's first job as a prophet was to deliver to the message to God's chosen people that they'd better shape up their act or they were going to get taken over by the Babylonians. Now, nobody wanted to hear this from Jeremiah, and he was an outcast, and he was branded an irritant by everybody, and especially the king of Judah. So, poor Jeremiah just kept doing his work and telling them that the impending doom was God's judgment upon them for their unfaithfulness. But even in the midst of having all of this bad news to say, Jeremiah still had compassion for the people that God loved and had trusted that God's plans would be carried out. He actually even bought a piece of land as they were being taken into exile because he knew he would come back because God had promised them a future with hope. So, all during this time, Jeremiah's favorite phrase is, "The days are surely coming." The days are surely coming when God is going to destroy Israel and Judah, and you're going to go into exile. The days are surely coming. But by the time we get to this week's story, that's already happened. The destruction has happened. They are now in exile in Babylon. But Jeremiah keeps saying, "The days are surely coming." And that phrase goes from being a threat to being a promise, giving hope. Those chosen people have been conquered. They've been taken captive. But still, the days are surely coming when God will get them out. And through Jeremiah, God tells the people, build houses, build gardens, live. Learn to live within this community. Be part of your captives. The days are surely coming. The children of Israel try to do this, but it's hard. It's hard to be asked that, because, and you know that half of them, what's being said goes in one ear and out the other because all they know is their misery. They've been captured. They've lost their homes. It's hard to stay faithful. Just like rehab is hard. It's hard to live through a time of loss and grief. It's hard to prosper when your life is falling completely apart. And sometimes it feels as if we're just going through the motions. And it takes all of our energy just to get from one day to the next, and maybe even 1 hour to the next. Every Sunday here in this church, we share our joys and concerns. And as I sit and listen to the problems that people are facing, I know that what's being shared is just the tip of the iceberg of the concerns that are in this room. And then I wonder, does it help to hear, to know what other problems people are facing, their loss, their grief? maybe it helps a little to lessen our, not our loneliness, but our solitude from those who don't know anything about our problems. And it helps to know that others are here, care and are praying for you and for us. It helps to know that we are a faith community and we share our burdens. But it doesn't make the burdens go away. I know I have sat in a church many times in my own life where I could hardly hold back tears. It's painful to be in the hard times, the periods that the psalmist talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The dark nights of the soul that come upon us, all of us, at one time or another. And of course, it isn't just the personal troubles we have to worry about, right? We have this world, bridges collapsing. So much pain, so much violence, so much anger, and so much brokenness, when all God wants is for us to be whole. So where do we find the strength for today? Where do we find that bright hope for tomorrow? Well, first of all, in those little kids right there, who knew the answer to the question, who are coming and learning more and more each day, sometimes more than we do, about God. Kids see, what was it last week? Children, it's not that children aren't paying attention, it's that children are paying too much attention because they haven't learned how to filter out the world like we do as adults. Children see much more than we do. And for those children to be happy and to be feeling safe and secure gives us hope. We also find it in the promise from God through the mouth of Jeremiah 2,600 years ago. And the amazing thing about this is that it's still as applicable today as it was then, when they were in captivity in Babylon. The Lord is saying to them and to us, no matter what you are going through, no matter how much it hurts or how difficult it is to imagine a future with hope, I promise you it will get better one day. And you are not ever alone. I am with you to the end of the age. That's a huge promise. And one that we know that when we are strong in our faith, that God will keep. And that is the promise and the hope from which we leave our spiritual rehab of Lent and go into the rest of the year. But I want to remind you that rehab, or Lent, isn't a one-time shot usually. I think it's something like 80% of people who go to rehab return. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Many people go back to rehab to remember who they are and to get back to that wholeness that they had found in their life after the first time. And the same is true with us in spiritual rehab. Don't hesitate to go back there, back to the Bible, back to prayer, back to a time of introspection, to be renewed in your faith, to find spiritual wholeness, and go forth in hope. That is the promise. I know we've talked about it before, but I asked someone once who doesn't believe in God, I said, where does your hope come from then? When you're in bad times. And they had no answer, because they didn't really have hope when they got down. And I thought that was so, so very painful and sad to not have hope for each new day. And so as we go into this time of Holy Week starting in a week from now, this time of Easter, this time of spring, this time of renewal, take a moment. Take a moment to be renewed in your faith Let us pray. Lord God, you sent us, Jesus, to show us how to live, to show us how to die, to show us that we do not have to fear, but we can live this life each day to the fullest. For you are always with us, and even after this life, there is the promise of more. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the hope that comes from those promises. Thank you for being with us each moment of every day. For you are our God, and we are your children. Amen. Let us continue our worship by the bringing forth of the offering.
A little bit, you'll know there are pretty important new information in here. So,
this week, of course, is the production for pastors, okay? I'm going to explain the various jobs.
You need to get the microphone.
Sorry, yes. I'm going to explain a few of the jobs, and I'm going to stress that some of these can and are sit-down jobs, okay? So, I would like Sue Beeman, Helen Stellmacher, and Celeste Dow to stand up because they are part of the organizers, and I want you to know who to go to if you have a question, okay? They promised they'd stand up. Okay, there they are.
Oh, they're clustered.
So we have decided to start earlier than usual because we have 900 pasties to make and probably more. Last year we made 974. Okay? And we sold them all, by the way. The list of volunteers is shorter than we need. And so I am here to urge you to volunteer. So first we start out on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. We're going to set up the tables, put out the equipment, and prep the potatoes and the onions. The potatoes need to be scrubbed, sliced, and then we cube them using our famous kitchen witch. Now, I wish we could put them through the dishwasher. I really do, but we can't, okay? They have to be hand-scrubbed. Forming the meatballs is easy, and that is definitely a sit-down job. The rutabagas and carrots come pre-cut, so there is no work there. And we have little choppers that make cutting the onions fast and easy. Thursday morning, we start making the special orders. We like to keep them separate so that they don't get mixed up. Then we go on to the regular ones. Let's see. We need you more on Wednesday and Thursday. Saturday, we're getting a lot of students. So if you can come Wednesday afternoon or Thursday, we would appreciate it. The pre-measured vegetables are mixed together and placed in bowls. A meatball is added on the top and a bowl is placed by the production line. The dough roller machine will be ready to go. The dough will be cut, weighed, and that's another sit-down job, by the way, and run through the machine. And when the tray is full of finished pasties, it's taken to the kitchen and baked. The cooling of the pasties in the past has been the longest time taker, and so we've added more space, more cooling racks, and more fans. And when the pasties are finally cool, they can be wrapped and sent to the pickup area. Now, we have experienced volunteers who distribute the pasties and collect the money, a very important job, and we appreciate their loyalty. Cleanup follows. And it seems like everybody just joins in. And if there's something left over, we have experienced cleaners to come in later. Now that's the process of the pasting. We repeat it Friday, and then repeat the same process on Saturday. So we would like you to be here, ready to work at 9 o'clock. Okay. So now, which job appealed to you? Have you thought about it? We don't expect you to work all day, all 3 days. 4 hours is nice. Come and go if you have to. But please sign up back by the Matheson room. If you don't want to put your name at a specific job, just put your name and telephone number on the sheet of paper and we'll contact you. Or when you get there, you can find out. Look at the different jobs and pick the one you want to do. We want you to get a new talent, okay? And we want to have hope at the same time. Now, in the past, the money that has been raised has purchased many valuable things for our church. Help buy the new stoves, we have cutting boards, the list goes on and on and on, and you can be part of that. We do provide lunch, and we even have some secret people that bring delicious treats, so you can have a little snack. Downstairs, there are photographs of the past pasty baking days. And I want you to notice, everyone is smiling. Okay?
they are a team. And we want to keep as a team and make things more for the whole. So bring your anything you want. We'll supply the hair hats and the lunch.
All right. And the pasties have also provided money for mission trips and many other mission things. So, Marcia, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do we have other announcements? Sandy. Oh, wait, we have a couple more, but come on up. Yeah, go ahead, go up. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, during this time we were kind of in the interim between that and not having a youth director, I was asked if I would help coordinate some of the youth activities. So with that being said, I feel privileged to be able to work with our youth and get to know them a little bit better. But we do have a lock-in coming up this next weekend. I don't think many of our youth are here, but I see some of the parents. So the lock-in is for middle and high schoolers, and that's up at Forbes in Proctor. So they're getting together at 7 o'clock, and if anybody is interested in going, please let me know as soon as possible, because that is next weekend. So I think RSVPs are really due today, but I think if I know by tomorrow morning, that would be just fine with them. So if you let me know. Also, again, these announcements are for middle and high school. That Easter Sunday, if we had any of the youth help out with serving coffee and juice at the tables, you'd be able to have a break and sit down and have breakfast with your family. But if you could also help with the serving of the coffee and juice, that would be appreciated and a nice way to be able to help your church. We're also looking maybe for some people to join others going to the Mercy Me concert. That is April 14th, and Mercy Me, actually there is a movie, I think, out right now. I can only imagine. And that is about the lead singer of this group. And that should be a really good concert. And April 15th, from noon to 2, we're going to do a bowling and pizza event at Incline Station. So more to come on all those. Thanks.
A repeat from last Sunday, we still need volunteers for our breakfast on Easter Sunday. And
April Fools. Oh, sorry.
Well, I thought she was talking about me being here.
That there should be a big shout out to the SPRC committee.
there was a hurricane of emails trying to come up with questions that were thoughtful, that would represent all of you in the things you wanted to know. And I was out of town, but all the people that you see standing here, and then Robin Mary via speakerphone, met the new pastor on the night. And I just want to tell you what Irvin Niebauer, Anina, said. She said to us before we met this person, she said, "I believe that God and the bishop have blessed you." And I think we agree. The thing to know about this, the reason it was so secret, was because their congregation is hearing the same news today, and they don't see it coming. I know that we've been in situations where we've had that same experience. So I want to make sure that we are careful to that congregation, because the treasure that we're going to receive is a treasure that somebody's going to be saying goodbye to, just like we're saying goodbye to them. So I have to read you a sentence. It is the intention of Bishop Bruce to appoint the Reverend Sarah Lawton as pastor of Hope United Methodist Church, and acting on behalf of the congregation of the staff pastor parish relations committee has confirmed the bishop's intention. Each church member's support, prayers, and acts of kindness during the transition period will be greatly appreciated by all persons. So now what's going to be passed out is a little introduction brochure of who we're going to be welcoming in August, not in July, but in August.
Those of you who went to my ordination, you have already seen Sarah, because Sarah was ordained with me. Okay, then let's go ahead and stand and sing. provided a cake for the 50th anniversary of Sue Dean, so that is downstairs waiting for you. I'm sure you must be done with cake now, because we've had a few of these, but please join in that celebration. And also, oh shoot, I was trying so hard to remember both of them. Shoot, oh, yes, the most important thing. Next Sunday, the choir will be performing an Easter musical called Redeemer during the 10 o'clock worship. They're working really hard on it, and so I hope that you can all be present to start your Holy Week off with this wonderful musical. So, as you go forth into this day, go forth in wonder. Go forth with your eyes wide open. Take everything in, and know that you are blessed. That there is a promise and a hope for each of us. Amen.